Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, last week, we had 3 days of encounter with the Lord. So what difference has it made? You can't meet with God without it making a difference. And you don't know what difference it's made until you start to put into practice what it is God said he had given and imparted to you. Expectation is a very important aspect of faith. Now, before you came here this morning, you may have had no expectations of this meeting. Or you might have expected, well, it's keynotes, so Pastor Conan will bring a word and we'll all listen and we'll get blessed and then we'll go off to life groups and see what that word means for us. That would be your expectation. As soon as we take the chairs away, there's a statement. Statement this morning is going to be different. Yeah. Now, there's a difference because I've got a different expectation. Interesting time last Wednesday morning, Pastor Jonathan Dyke spoke about faith expectations over his life. And everybody got really, really excited. I mean, a tremendously exciting atmosphere in here. And as I was explaining to the second years yesterday, that's okay at one level, but that's not what it's about. Because what everybody was responding to was Pastor Jonathan's expectations. Now, what God wants is for you to have your own expectations. Yeah. And actually to be just as excited when there is nobody up the front to actually cause that excitement. That the excitement, you see, comes from within us. What you were doing last week was responding to an external stimulus to your faith. Now, that's fine. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that because that's encouraging. But it doesn't make you a man or woman of faith.
No.
You see, a man or woman of faith does not need external circumstances to stimulate his or her faith. So it's great that we have times like that because they're an encouragement, but they're only an encouragement on the journey towards having that expectation within you. Having that deposit of faith within you. So you're not dependent upon someone else to actually be able to exercise faith in your experience. I thought it was quite an interesting time last Wednesday morning because everybody was getting so excited. And that's good, but faith actually isn't about excitement. Faith is about expectation. And you see, Pastor Jonathan Dyke is a man of faith because what he was speaking about was his expectations. Are you there?
Yeah.
Now you need your own set of expectations. But not just to make statements of what God is going to do in the future, but what is your expectation of God today? Do you have any expectation that God is actually going to do something in your life today? Some of you probably have some need or some issue that you're working through in your life. Okay, what is your expectation as to what God will do about that situation today? Or are you just living with the situation? Or are you waiting for someone else, you see, to give you the impetus to actually face that situation with faith? Are there any believers in the room? We can get very excited, but excitement doesn't do the job. There's actually a great simplicity about faith. Even a calmness about faith. The writer to Hebrews talks about the rest of faith, where you're just resting, you're trusting in the Lord because you know He's done the work and you're believing what He has done so that He is able to meet the need in your life. Are you breathing?
Yeah.
What is your expectation as to how God is going to use you today? I mean, when you got up and had your time with the Lord this morning, did you actually pray, Lord, use me today? See, what's the point of having 3 days of encounter if you're not going to get used? The purpose of encountering God is that now He can use us more fully and more effectively. So probably when you came through the doors into the meeting this morning, you didn't have any expectation that you would be used. Now suddenly there's no chairs, and there's the awful prospect that God might actually want to use you. You see, you could say, well, the absence of chairs means that God wants to bless me, or it could mean God wants to use me. Or it could mean both. Let's turn to John chapter 3. Are we all at the same meeting this morning?
Yes.
You don't know what meeting I'm at yet. You see, we're talking about kingdom advance. And what God has been talking to us about in recent weeks is the kingdom does not advance through talk, but through power. Why meet with God? So there's more power released so the kingdom can advance. Because the kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. So days of encounter with God should actually lead to a greater expectation of seeing the power of God at work. Otherwise, we've missed it, really. We've missed what it's all about. Now, here, John is really referring back to what he said in the opening chapter of his gospel about Jesus coming as the light. The light in which was the life of God. And then he says here in chapter 3, verse 19, this is the evidence. Light has come into the spiritual darkness of the world, but men love the darkness instead of the light because they love the evil deeds of darkness. Those who want to do what is evil hate the light and will not come near the light for fear that their evil deeds will become exposed. However, the man who wants to live by the truth comes readily into the light. He has nothing to be ashamed of, for the light shows clearly what it is God, clearly that it is God who has inspired and enabled what He does. It is God who has inspired and enabled what he does. You see, when you meet with God, when you draw near to the throne, you are really coming into the light.
Yes.
The light exposes whatever is of darkness, so God can deal with the darkness. Therefore, more of the light of his glory can radiate from our lives. Mm-hmm. Now, everything that is good and positive is of the light. Everything that is negative and destructive is of darkness, not light. So what we see in the ministry of Jesus is not only did he preach and bring the light of the revelation of the truth into people's lives, but he caused that light to shine into people's lives so they were set free, they were delivered, they were healed, they were raised from the dead even. The light came against the darkness, and whenever the light comes against darkness, the darkness always has to give way to the light. Darkness cannot co-inhabit with light. Now, Jesus said to set your light, not God's light, but let your light so shine before men that they may hear you telling them the truth, no, that they may see your good works and give glory to their Father in heaven. Now, people are only going to give glory if your good works affect their lives.
Yes.
Why should they give glory to God just because something good is happening to you? What will really cause them to give glory to God is that a good work done by God through you has impacted their lives.
Amen.
In other words, light has shone from your life into an area of darkness in that person's life. Now, this is not just about salvation, except in its fullest sense, because salvation is healing, isn't it? It's bringing us into wholeness of spirit, soul, and body. It's very easy to preach the gospel and not expect anything to happen. But according to my Bible, you haven't fully preached unless you see signs following. Paul did not consider he had preached the gospel unless he saw the power of God at work afterwards. He says that towards the end of Romans. It's very easy for us just to reduce the gospel to words and not to have the expectation of seeing the power. And yes, it's good to have expectations for the future, but we need to see the power of God today and every day. Now, do we have any people of faith? This is not a redundant question, it's a serious question. Do we have any people of faith here this morning?
Yes.
Just raise your hand if you're a person of faith. Right, now Jesus says, anyone who believes will do the same things as I have been doing. So if you believe today, God expects you to do the same things as he did today. That's your expectation. Your expectation isn't because you're a believer. Sometime in the future, God is going to use me. If you're a believer today, then God's expectation is that you would do the same things as Jesus today. Now, that's not just healing and performing miracles. It's doing the same things as Jesus did. But what he did was cause the light to shine into the darkness of other people's lives. Are we getting this? Every Sunday should be miracle time. Every time we come in here, we should anticipate miracles. Miracles are going to happen. Why not? If there's no time on Sunday for the miracles to happen in the meeting, then when people come forward for prayer, they come forward for miracles. And we want the power to be released in such a way that so many miracles are happening, there's a line of people waiting to be prayed for.
Yes, Lord.
Because they know, right, I'm getting my miracle.
Yes, 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 yes.
I'm getting my answer.
Yes, Lord.
I'm going to receive the power of God. That's the expectation. Now, that's the kind of expectation, you see, God wants to build, not only here, but in the whole of Kingdom Faith. Everybody living in that expectation. The expectation is not that I've got to live with a problem. The expectation is God is the answer to my problem.
Yes.
And because I'm a believer today, he expects the same things as happened, as Jesus did, to happen in my experience today. Amen. So you see, it's easy for us to respond to the stimulus of faith that's given by others, but what God is doing is building this expectation into each of us and into everybody in Kingdom Faith. As people met with God, you know, people from the congregation, as they met with God last week, that would have encouraged their faith. And just as we are going to this morning, so with everybody in Kingdom Faith, we need to see how to translate that into action. So we're going to be active this morning. Is that all right? You are going to be active this morning. Praise God. Now, one of the ways in which expectation can be choked in our lives is by looking at the situation and believing the situation. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes the more you look at a situation, the more difficult it is to believe. This is why people of faith fix their eyes on Jesus. They're not looking at the situation, but they're looking at Jesus, who is the one who is able to transform the situation. So Jesus is able to transform situations this morning. Because Jesus is alive this morning. Jesus is as powerful this morning as the day he raised Lazarus. Even more so, because now it's the risen, glorified, ascended power of the risen Christ that is at work in and among us. You see, you're not quite so excited. Why? Well, while faith is a theory, everybody gets excited. But when things have to happen, why is there less excitement? Surely the excitement should be when things are going to happen, not just when we're talking theoretically. It's the events that matter, isn't it? So your expectation needs to be, my faith works.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, that's right.
Faith works.
Yes.
We're in a time of acceleration. That was clear in those days of meeting with God last week. A lot happened in an hour and a half each evening. We didn't need long meetings for God to do what he did. Okay, so we should expect an acceleration of the works that are going to come out of our meeting with God. An acceleration not only of the number, but of the rapidity with which people's needs are being met. That's what acceleration is all about. Now, you see, when you pray, either for yourself or for someone else, or have someone else pray for you, there's an expectation. Now, it may be a high expectation, it may be a low expectation. It may be, well, at some point in the future, God is going to meet this need. It may be, well, this prayer is going to help in some way. Or it may be, that's it. It's done. Now, you know that in theory, and it's easy to say, yeah, that's done. Anybody can say, yeah, that's done. But that's only true if that was your expectation, even before you prayed. Jesus says, heal the sick, doesn't he?
Yes.
Not pray for them, you see?
Yeah.
Our expectation is often, well, if somebody prays for me, it will help. But I know when I was seriously ill a few years ago, I didn't want people praying for me. What I wanted was for people to impart to me.
Yes.
Somebody come along with a dose of healing. That's why not many people knew about the situation to pray. Because, you know, when people pray, they can focus on the problem rather than the answer. I don't want people focusing on the problem. I wanted the answer.
Yes.
Are we getting there? I was living with the answer. I wasn't living with the problem. I was living with the answer. And I wanted people to pray for me and live with me, agree with me for the answer. I know a whole lot of people praying out of sympathy or anything like that.
No.
I was living with the answer.
Yes, Lord.
Expectation.
Yes.
Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't want to talk for too long because we need time for the action. We've cleared the decks for action. This is a verse you've heard me preach on before, verse 30. It is only through God's own work of grace that you now live in Christ Jesus at one with him. Jesus himself has become for us who believe the true wisdom that God has supplied. He is our righteousness, he is our holiness, he is our redemption, the one who has made it possible for us to be God's children. Now, the importance of this scripture goes actually way, way, way beyond this verse. God is wise. Therefore, Jesus is our wisdom. We don't need a wisdom of our own. Jesus is our wisdom. God is righteous, and he has made us righteous and acceptable in his sight. But he is our righteousness. Your righteousness is Christ in you. It's not you. You are not righteous, but your righteousness is Christ in you. It's the righteousness of Christ in you that makes you righteous. You don't have a holiness of your own. Your holiness is Christ. Christ in you. You see, whatever he is by nature, he becomes by action.
Yes.
Can you understand that?
Yes.
What he is by nature, he becomes by action. So he is your savior. So the scripture also says he is your salvation.
Yeah.
Salvation is a person. It's not something you have or something you haven't or something you've got and something you can lose. Salvation is Jesus.
Amen.
Salvation is God. God is even salvation in the Old Testament.
Mm.
He is described as the God of salvation.
Yeah.
So we believe he's the healer, So he's also the healing. You see, the healing is Christ in you. Look, try not to get excited. It puts me off. The healing is Christ in you. See, it's not a question of does God want to heal me or doesn't he? Is he going to heal me or isn't he? I've got the healer inside me. Therefore, I've got the healing on the inside of me. What does he want? He wants the faith that releases that healing activity in my life. He is the deliverer. Therefore, I've got deliverance within me from whatever comes against me, from whatever binds me, from whatever restricts me. I have the deliverer. Therefore, I have the deliverance. Amen. If I believe it. And if I believe it, then I lay hold of it. I do not accept that I'm going to live with the problem. I do not accept that sometime in the future God is going to meet this need. Because that's like saying, well, sometime in the future Jesus is going to come and live with me. No, he's living in me now. He is my salvation now. He is my healing now. He is my deliverance now. He is my victory now. Now you see, you can respond to the external stimulus of what I'm saying to you. What God wants is that faith to be in your heart so you've got it. You see it. The penny drops. Yes! There is no need that can ever arise in my life that God will not meet because I have Christ on the inside of me. And Jesus does not live in me to live with a problem. Hallelujah. He's not shut up in my spirit. He is to flood my soul and even my body because by his spirit he gives life to my mortal body.
Yes.
Amen. So you told me that you're a believer. Well, who is the author of your faith? Jesus. Who is the perfecter of your faith? Jesus. Where is he going to perfect your faith? Not from external stimuli, but from inside you. Look, it was great to draw near to God in worship, yes, last week. And we encountered God, we met with him. He did some good stuff in our lives. He did some good stuff in my life. I don't know what he did in yours life, but he did some good stuff in my life.
Yes.
I enjoyed meeting with the Lord. But that's not actually when I'm closest to him. Because if someone lives in me, I can't get any closer than that. According to my Bible, Jesus says that the Father and the Son have come to make their home with me. Now, when you make your home with someone, you don't visit. It's where you belong. So the Father and the Son belong in me. And the Spirit as well. Just turn to John chapter 16. Are you getting this? I'm not just sort of talking to myself, am I? You know, we use this phrase glibly that your life will never be the same again. But if you actually believe what I'm saying, your life will never be the same again. Let's have three of you up here quickly. Some of you have seen me do this before. But just face the wall there. Right, now then, this is the greatest day of their lives. We'll just read the scripture first, then I'll explain it to you. Verse 15. Everything that the Father has, I also have, says Jesus. And everything I have, the Spirit would take and reveal to you in your experience. So I tell you clearly that everything the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have is yours. That's a bit of interpretation. Now, let's see how this works. This is God the Father. This is God the Son. This is God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is speaking. And he says, everything the Father has, I also have. And everything that I have, the Holy Spirit makes known to you.
Amen.
Now, to make known is to make known in your experience.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Let's do it once more, shall we? Jesus is speaking. He says, everything the Father has, the Son has, and everything that the Son has, the Spirit makes known to you.
Amen.
Okay, you can go and sit down now. Thank you. So you have everything that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have. The Holy Spirit lives within you so that the Father and the Son can make their home with you, so that everything God has is there, potentially yours. It's your inheritance. It's for you to lay hold of by faith. Even Paul said, well, I haven't yet laid hold of all of that, because, I mean, how can you lay hold of everything that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have? But how little have you actually laid hold of so far? And you see, God wants us to have this expectation. Today is a day of faith. Today is a day I lay hold of more of my inheritance. A day is a day. Today I receive what is mine. Yes. Yeah. It's paradoxical, isn't it? Because you're actually receiving what you have. Or to put it more succinctly, what is within you is being released more fully. Now, God said to me this morning that he wants this morning to be a time of greater release.
Glory.
Now, that's not just release from things, although that is involved. It's release of what he has put within us. Now, when we meet with God like we did last week, he imparts more to us, but we don't know what he's imparted till we begin to use it. If we just sort of come in here and sit and listen like we did before, then actually we haven't moved on very far. Potentially we could move on, but the listening has got to give way to action.
Yes.
You know, we're believing to see 5 people saved every week. Let me tell you, they'll be queuing up to get saved when they see the action. It's not that we just want to focus on miracles. We want to focus on the truth, because it's the truth that sets people free. But if we've got the truth that sets people free, then we need to see people being set free. That's the challenge. It's the challenge to always a challenge. I've lived with that challenge all through my ministry. The verse I told some of you before, the verse that I've lived with for the last 40-odd years and more, is that verse from John 14:12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do the same things as I have done, and greater things still will he do, because I go to the Father. I've lived with that verse every day of my life, because what God says to me in that is, Colin, I expect of you today greater things than I did. That's his faith expectation on my life. Not just to do the same things, but greater things. Now, I would never dare to have that expectation if Jesus hadn't spoken those words. But if I'm a man of faith, his expectations is that I shall do greater things. I shall see the Spirit of God doing what was not possible during the earthly ministry of Jesus, because the Spirit was not yet given, because he was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. Now, some, it says in the scripture, are healers, and some are miracle workers. That means that some people have a particular anointing, gifting, faith to believe God to use them in such ways. But you see, just as there is the ministry of a prophet, they are not the only people that can prophesy. According to the scripture, every believer who has received the Spirit can prophesy. And everybody who is a believer can see the supernatural power of God work in him or her and working through him or her to heal, to work miracles, to do whatever. But it comes down to expectation. You know, when the move of the Spirit began in the 1960s, early 1970s, it was a big challenge to the evangelical churches. Because they were so good at preaching the word, but they didn't see the action. Those of you who've been doing Calvinism and Arminianism in the last few days, you see, it's easy to opt out of the activity. And just to say, well, if God wants to do something, he'll do it. But actually, he's chosen to work through the faith of his people. Which is why Jesus says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Now, you could say, according to your expectation, it will be done to you. Why did Jesus ask questions of people when they came to him? Because he wanted to draw out from them their expectations. And even among some evangelical believers, there's fear of action. Where does the fear come from? The fear comes from, well, what does it say if we don't see it happening? So I've had pastors tell me, you shouldn't pray for the sick because not everybody gets healed. I thought, wait a minute. That's like saying nobody should go to the doctor because not everybody is cured.
Yeah.
That's a crazy argument. What you should be thanking God for is that some are healed.
Yes.
But what we're aiming for is to see more and more of God's activity. And quicker, that acceleration. Now, if we're living in a time of acceleration, we've got to put our faith to the test. You tell me you're believers. Well, let's test that, shall we? Because Jesus says, anyone who believes will do the same thing. We'll leave the greater things today, if you like. We'll leave those till next week when Pastor Clive will be doing the Tuesday morning. And we'll just focus on the same things as Jesus did this morning. Is that all right?
Yes.
I mean, if a few greater things slip in, we're not going to prevent them. Now, you see, I could say jump to your feet and start praying for one another and nothing much would probably happen. Because first of all, we've got to do some thinking. What is your expectation? Now, if you're someone who has a particular need at this time, what is your expectation for the next 10 minutes? Bearing in mind that nothing is impossible for God. It doesn't matter how big your need, he is bigger. And actually, he's already met your need on the cross. While I was praying last week, God spoke to me about his body, not the body of Christ, but his body. I've been challenged by that word that Paul speaks when he's talking about Holy Communion. When he says that many are sick and some have died because they have not discerned the Lord's body. And I've often really wondered, what does that really mean? And last week, I believe God told me, you know, sometimes he does these things right out of the blue when you're not thinking of that. He just started to talk to me about his body. Now, we know that through the blood we have forgiveness of sins. And by his stripes we're healed. Now his stripes were what were inflicted on his body. It's not the shedding of the sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sins. It's what he bore on his body. So he took all my sins upon himself, and through the shedding of his blood, he forgave my sins. But he bore all my sicknesses on his body. Now I am part of his body. And whenever I receive communion, he says, "This is my body." It's the body that has borne those wounds, gone through crucifixion, and is now reigning on the throne of God in heaven. It's the victorious body. So when he says, "This is my body," it means you have everything that belongs to his body. Now, what God said to me last week, he says, "My body is healthy." If you believe this is my body, you believe this is your health. My body is strong, therefore this body is your strength. My body is full of life, therefore this body is your life. Yes, praise God for the blood that cleanses us, makes us righteous and acceptable in God's sight. But thank God for his body, because everything that he is and has becomes mine. Through his body. Now, Paul says some people haven't discerned that, so they're sick. And some have even died. Lots of people just regard communion as a memorial meal. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If you look at what the scriptures say, especially in that verse, it's not a memorial. It's a life-giving event. Now, we're not taking communion this morning, but on Friday, it's miracle time. But through a different channel, through a different way, through a different means. God has got many ways. It's a strengthening time. It's a life-giving time. It's not just a cleansing time. It's not just a holy moment where I'm washed of my sins and made holy in God's sight. It's an impartation moment. It's not just a nice little prayer from the person, you know, "This is the body of Christ." No, it's life-giving. Amen. We're not religious. We're people of faith. Okay, so that's one way of imparting life. Another is when we pray for one another. If any two agree. Agree in what? That's not somebody praying and somebody else saying amen. It's agreeing as to your expectation. If I pray for you and you expect and I expect and we're agreed at what we expect, then Jesus says it's a done deal. But this has to be, Jesus says, a heart expectation. It's not something off the top of our heads. Yeah, well, we know it's possible. So No, it's the faith that is there within, because we're not responding to external stimuli, but we are a people who have the risen, ascended Christ within us. You have the salvation. You have the healing. You have the redemption. You have the wisdom. You have the righteousness. You have the holiness. You have the victory of Him there within you. So what's going to happen now? Whatever you expect. You see, Jesus says, whatever you ask in faith, believe it, you have received it. Why? Because He's there within you. And it will be yours. He doesn't say it will be yours in 10 years' time. But as soon as you believe you have it, it's yours. See, do you believe is your healing? Then you have your healing. Okay, so we're going to, I was going to say pray for one another, but you know, we're going to do it the right way. No tongues, no long prayers, because you won't be heard for your many words. Just an impartation. The laying on of hands is not a friendly way of praying for one another. You only lay hands on someone when your expectation is that you are imparting to them the answer. Hallelujah. So, it's not just a question of what do you expect to receive, but what do you expect to impart? Let's all stand. Now, just close your eyes and be still for a moment. I don't want you to start praying yet. I just want you to think. I want you to have your eyes closed so you're not looking around and getting distracted. What can you impart to others this morning at this meeting? If you lay hands on someone, what's going to happen to them? What are they going to receive? What will be given to them? Now, you might think, well, it doesn't depend upon me, it depends upon the Lord. There's a yes and a no, but he would do what you believe. He would do what you expect. He will use you in the way that you anticipate. He can do even more than that, but he will do at least that. He can go beyond our expectations because he's able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think or imagine. So he can go way beyond, but he will at least do what you expect. Now, where's it going to come from? The Christ within you. The life is there within you. Hallelujah. Okay, now just think. If someone prays for you, what are you going to receive? What is your expectation that you will receive? Not what is your wishful thinking. Not some vague hope of what you would like to happen. What is your expectation that you will receive before you leave this room? Now, the wise ones amongst you are already asking the Holy Spirit just to show you, to witness to you, because the spirit of faith needs to operate in your life. So we're not praying for things to happen, but we pray at all times in the Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, I want your thinking now. I want your thoughts. I want to line up with what you're saying, with your expectations, with your plan, with your purpose. Now, thank you that everything that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has is mine. That you are wanting to make that all known to me. So thank you that this morning more of your life is going to be made known to me.
Amen.
I have it, but it's going to be made known to me in my experience.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you see, you're not responding now to the external stimulus of faith that someone else is giving. This is where you're drawing on the resources of faith that are there within you. Where you're drawing on the Spirit who is within you. Where you're drawing on the Christ who is within you. Now, Father, we thank you for everything that you're about to do here for your glory. We thank you that it blesses you every time we trust you. Thank you that it blesses you to see your expectations within us. It blesses you when we expect what you want us to expect. Thank you, Lord, that it blesses you to use us as channels of your grace to others. We praise your holy name. Right now, let me just tell you what we're going to do. In a moment, we're going to get into groups of three. Now, you're going to pray for each in the trio in turn. So, in turn, each will say, not a long description of what is wrong. That's not what we're doing. We're not focusing on what is wrong. But just to state in a single sentence what your expectation is. What you expect to receive. Then the other two, in the name of Jesus, will lay hands on your head, not on the shoulder, not on the back, not on the arm, on the head. And they will impart to you that which you expect. They will impart it in the name of Jesus. So it's for those two to agree that that impartation is going to take place. If you feel that you can't do that, then you need to say, I'm not quite there, just pray for me to have the faith before we do the laying on of hands. Because you see, what matters is honesty and integrity before God. We're not just doing a performance here. Then when you've imparted to that one, do the other two in turn, so that all three have been prayed for and have been praying for others. And then when you've done that, I'll tell you what to do subsequently. No long prayers, no tongues, because when you speak in a tongue, you're speaking to God, but we're not speaking to God, we're imparting in the name of God. So when you do that, you just lay your hands on someone. You just say whatever. You know, receive now. Whatever their expectation, receive that in the name of Jesus. Just keep your hands there for about half a minute just to give the person time to believe they're receiving. And then move on. Just thank the Lord, move on. You see, if God is going to work, it's not going to take him any longer than 30 seconds. No. It takes some of us a little longer to receive what he does, but it doesn't take him long to impart. It's not going to happen if we sort of pray for 5 hours. I hear sometimes people praying for 5 hours for someone, that means for 4 hours, 59 minutes, they didn't believe. And then at last they got there, and then they stopped. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, get into your groups of three and begin the process. Now, why shouldn't you use many words? Because if you use a lot of words, you think it depends upon your prayer rather than the impartation of the life of Christ that you have within you. There's a time to pray, there's a time to impart. But you see, if you think you need to pray a long prayer, you think it's your prayer that's going to do it. rather than Jesus going to do it. A very subtle difference. You don't actually need any words, really. One of the things I like doing sometimes when I'm out preaching is sort of walking up the aisle and laying hands on someone while I'm preaching. And the power of God comes upon them, and often they begin to weep, and I say, "What's happened to you?" And he said, "I've just been healed. I haven't even prayed for them. I've just been preaching." But it demonstrates that the power of God is present to heal the sick, to meet need. Hallelujah. Obviously, I'm believing. I'll know something is going to happen to that person. Hallelujah. So how many have received?
Yes.
Oh. How many have imparted to somebody else? How many of you are surprised at what you imparted?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.